Acts 18 and the words of verses 9 and 10 are our texts for this morning, and they're also our motto text for this new year of 2017. The motto text is printed on the calendar of events to help to remind you of it. We encourage you to mark the verses and take the time to learn them, to memorize them. Acts 18 verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." The theme of the message, the theme of the text, is God's guarantee for the future of the work. It's good to have a guarantee for any item in your possession. Well, there's no greater guarantee than God's guarantee. And here's God's guarantee, men and women, as we enter a new year, for the future of his work. And we apply that personally. It's his guarantee for the future of this testimony and this church. A number of years ago, I met a man from my hometown of Sainfield, a believer. I hadn't seen him for many years. A man that had walked with God and served the Lord faithfully. And in the course of the conversation, he was encouraged to learn that I had entered into the gospel ministry. And he said to me, one of the parting comments was, "Keep on preaching the gospel." I never forgot that. And that's good advice, brethren and sisters, for us all. And that's what I want to exhort you to do. As you commence this new year that the Lord and his grace has brought us into, I want to encourage you to keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on reaching out, winning souls. Keep on in the service of Christ. That's really what the Lord was encouraging Paul to do here in the city of Corinth. He says to his servant, "But speak and hold not your peace." The message really is this, and I pray you'll take it to heart yourself. The message was, keep at the job. Keep on preaching the gospel. And brethren and sisters, that's what the Lord wants us to do. We're to do the same. You're not to be idle or careless in 2017. You're not to be silent or dumb. You're not to sit quietly by while others are involved in the work, or while multitudes race on to a lost eternity. What the Lord wants is for you to keep on preaching the gospel. That's the great work, and that is the great business of the church of Jesus Christ. Remember, it's very easy to be discouraged in the work. Don't let the problems, don't let the difficulties cause you to lose heart. I'd want to say that to you this morning. Remember, that is the devil's master plan. Keep in mind Mr. Nicholson's outlook, that chorus that was so famous in his campaign, or his campaigns, "Down in the dumps, I'll never go." It's so easy to get discouraged in the work. And it's so easy to be diverted, to be sidetracked. That is the devil's purpose. That is always his purpose. He wants to get you taken up with something else other than the church and the work of God. He wants to get you taken up with your home, with your work, with your business, with your difficulties, with your pleasures, anything at all, so long as it takes you away from the service of Christ. So easy to get discouraged, so easy to get diverted, and it's so easy, brethren and sisters, for a church to get divided. You think of Paul and Barnabas. The Bible says of those two great men that they departed asunder. Think of it, the best of men, the best of Christians, leaders in the New Testament church, the best of missionaries, and yet they can be divided. And I want to say to you, don't let that happen here. There needs to be unity, and there needs to be harmony among the people of God. I wonder if that is what has happened to you, maybe personally, during the year of 2016. You were discouraged, you were diverted, you've been divided, maybe from some other brother or sister that once you were very close to. I say to you, if that has been the case, Don't let the devil have his way. I want to urge you, as the Lord urged the servant here, keep on with the preaching of the gospel. Keep on with the work of God. Keep on with the meetings. Keep on with holding gospel missions and outreaches and doing door-to-door outreach and Sunday school work, whatever department of the church you're involved in. We could sum it up by saying, keep on sowing the seed. Keep the light shining for God in this locality. We need to focus all our energies on that great task. And I want to say to you, don't quit and don't give up. Keep at the work, brethren and sisters. Keep at it while you have health, how quickly it can be taken. Keep at the work while you have time, how quickly we can be removed from this scene of time. And keep at the work of God while you have opportunity, while the Lord in his grace and mercy opens the doors of opportunity to you. I want you to see in our new motto text that the Lord encourages you in that work here in these words. And he does it in this way. He does it by giving you assurances and promises for the future. In fact, there are five great promises as I see them to encourage you in this text, to keep on working and to keep on preaching. There are five great promises in this text that guarantee the future of God's work here in this place. So let's look at them for our encouragement this morning. Notice, first of all, there's a promise of peace. The text says, be not afraid. Maybe that's how you've come to the house of God this morning. Your heart is full of fear. It's interesting to see that the great apostle had no peace, that even Paul was afraid. Do you remember what he said when he was writing to the Corinthians about the time that he came to Corinth at the beginning? He said, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Paul was afraid when he first came to Corinth. You might ask, why is that? Well, remember that he had just left Athens. We're told that in the first verse of the chapter. He hadn't experienced much blessing or much success in his labors in Athens. And he was afraid that the same thing would happen again in Corinth. So Paul was afraid. There are other references in the New Testament to his fears. Remember, in 2 Corinthians, he said, without were fightings, within were fears. Notice the plural. It's indicating that he had many fears. So Paul experienced fears and worries in his labors. That may surprise you today. It may surprise you to think of that. But I want you to know, men and women, that he wasn't a superman. Paul, as the Bible says, if Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, he had the same feelings that you and I have. And I pray that as you ponder that, it'll give you even a little encouragement. Think of other examples of that, great men that were afraid. Peter, remember when he came into the home of the high priest and the damsel challenged him that he was a follower of Jesus Christ? He was terrified by what the damsel said in that company. That's the reason why he denied the Lord. Think of Elijah, fled for his life whenever he was threatened by Jezebel. So it's clear, brethren and sisters, the best of men, the best of Christians, the greatest of God's servants get afraid. And let that encourage you in your labors today. I want to ask you, as you face another year in the work of God, as you think of the way ahead, as you come to the meeting this morning, the first Lord's Day of a new year, is your heart full of fears? You're afraid because of trouble in the work? Numbers may decrease in whatever department you're found in. Not enough workers to carry on with the work. You're maybe afraid that you lack the ability to do the job. You're afraid because of questions that people will ask, or maybe some of the children might ask you whenever you're teaching Sunday school or teaching in the children's meeting. You're afraid because so many demands upon you, you don't have the time to do what is required. You're afraid that we're in hard times financially. Think of your own circumstances personally and the work of God in general too. All sorts of fears. Your heart can be full of all sorts of fears. If that is so, the Lord says to you today, be not afraid. Don't be full of fear. What the Lord wants and what you need is to be full of faith as you face the future. So he says, keep preaching, keep on with the work, because the Lord promises us his peace every day and every step of the way. You'll see as well there's a promise of his presence. The text says, I am with you. Does not make all the difference, brethren and sisters. And we should pray that the Lord would reveal his presence to us on a daily basis. Do you remember David at that time that he was backslidden and he fell into adultery and so on? Do you remember that he sent his troops into battle against the Ammonites? But he tarried still in Jerusalem. David didn't go with his men. David didn't go into battle. But I want you to know today that the Savior is not like that. When the Lord Jesus, the great captain of our faith, sends out his troops, he goes with them. And he always goes with them. Be encouraged by that. Think of the commission to go. And I impress that in your heart this morning. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you for some time about going forth in his service. Remember the commission to go, but there's a promise attached to it. It ends with the words, lo, I am with you. When you go forth for Christ, he goes too. He goes with you. And what a blessing that is. And that, brethren and sisters, that knowledge should give you courage this morning. It should give you strength just to know, as you do the work of God, as you serve him in your corner of the vineyard, just to know that you're not on your own. The Lord is there at your side. Think of that lovely name. We've mentioned it a few times over the last number of weeks. Emmanuel. God with us. It's interesting. The book of Matthew begins and ends with the promise of God's presence. Emmanuel. God with us. And then the great words that we've emphasized in the commission. I am with you. What a blessing that is. Just to know the presence of Christ. And at the beginning of 2017, as you face the future in the work, with all its problems, with all its trials, with all its pressures, with all its struggles, a holiday time, a few weeks off from the work is very nice. You can set all those things aside. But as the work and the beginning of the work in a new year looms, and all of those things come on the horizon again, all the trials, all the difficulties, all the pressures, all the struggles, I want you to know, as you think of all of that, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be at your side, brethren and sisters. He will be with you in all of your labors, in all of your circumstances, not just some of them, not just in the small problems. Because remember, he said, I'll never leave thee. No matter how difficult the way, how challenging the path. It doesn't matter what difficulties you face. It doesn't matter what street you go up or what town, land you go into to spread the gospel for Christ. The Savior is going to be there. He's going to be present at your side. So keep preaching. Keep on with the work, because the Lord promises his presence as well. You'll see there's a third promise, and that's of protection. The text, the Lord says, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Here is the assurance of the Lord's care and protection for us as his people. Remember that as we labor for the Lord, we will be attacked. Times those attacks are verbal. There are times people will tell lies. The attack will come in the form of deceit about you and your life and your testimony and your motives and so on. Didn't Paul say to these very Corinthians that it is through good report and through ill report that we serve Christ and that we will finish our course and enter into the kingdom of heaven? Isn't that interesting? He knew all about it as well. There are times that the things that people say about you, they're not good. It's ill. There's other times the attack will be a physical attack. You'll find yourself maybe in a dangerous place, meeting dangerous people who will want to harm you. Think of our brother, Pastor Harvey Shaw. If you read his life story, many years ago they went down south and engaged in open-air evangelistic outreach. On one of those open airs, not long after the meeting, a group of men apprehended them. Harvey was beaten up. It was soon after that that he had his first bout of cancer. They reckon it was just the shock and the trauma of all that he passed through at that time that brought the cancer on. There's times the attacks are physical. Think of Paul at Lystra. He was stoned. They trailed him out of the city. They left him for they thought he was dead. So it's a clear example. Physical attacks upon the people of God. And you can be worried about those sort of things. Well, here's a word of comfort for those circumstances too. No man will set on thee to hurt thee. The Lord's hand is going to be upon you. The good hand of God, as Nehemiah spoke about. The Lord will protect you as his child, as you seek to do his will. Augustine, the great church father, whenever he came home every day, he generally went the same way. But on one day in particular, he decided, for an unexplainable reason, he decided he would go home another way, take a different route. On that very day, there was a group of men that had gathered on his normal route, and they had planned to kill him, planned to take his life. The devil was coming as a roaring lion, wanted to stop the testimony, the voice of the Lord's servant. And that's an example, brethren and sisters, of the fact that God can protect us by his providences. He guides. He overrules in our circumstances and every step that we take for our good. Now that doesn't mean that you should be foolish. It doesn't mean that you should be careless. We need to be wise and careful. You think of Acts 12. Peter, after he escaped from prison, the Bible says that he went to another place. That was a safe house. He didn't taunt the authorities with his presence there in the city. Went to another place. He was wise and careful about his circumstance. Think of the disciples in Acts chapter 8, when Paul was leading that great persecution in Jerusalem against the early church. We're told that the disciples all left Jerusalem. And that teaches us there's times it's not wrong for our own safety, for the safety of our families, to flee from our present location. Think of Jeremiah at that time when Jehoiakim was so opposed. You remember that he destroyed the word of God with a penknife and cast it into the fire? They told Jeremiah on that occasion, go hide thyself. So we're to be wise in those circumstances, when there are threats been made upon our person. We're to do what we can. And if we do, the Lord himself will watch over us. So keep on with the work. No matter who opposes you, keep on in the service of Christ, because the Lord promises his protection. I want you to see there's a fourth great promise here to encourage your heart. And that is the promise of prosperity. The Lord says, and think of where we live and labor here in Armagh, the appropriateness of these words. I have much people in this city. Notice that he doesn't just say people. He says, I have much people. I want you to see that. Pray God will give you a sight, a vision of the work to be done, the harvest to be reaped. There's a great harvest, men and women. The Lord had many people in Corinth who were still to be saved. And Paul was promised prosperity, the blessing of God, in his evangelistic labors. And I want you to know that it's the same here. There are many people in this city, in this district, in this locality, that God wants to save. There's not a doubt about that. You say, how do we know? How can we be so confident? Well, let me ask you, why did God establish this church in Armagh? Why is it that there are other gospel preaching churches in this locality? Why is that? Because God has a work for us to do. Why has God given this church so many openings? Think of all of the ministries among the children and the youth, the holiday Bible clubs and the schools. You think of the radio ministry and the messages in the paper. Why would the Lord do all of those things, give all of those opportunities, open all of those doors? Can I tell you why? Because God is a people that he wants to win to himself. And many of those people are in Armagh. And we should take great encouragement from that fact, brethren and sisters. God is a people in this city that he wants to bring to himself in salvation. And I say to you, let that truth motivate you and encourage you to keep on with the work of the gospel. Can I point out to you those words when the Lord says, I have much people? That's a reference to the great truth of election. The Lord is a people. It's not the Free Presbyterian Church or any other denomination. What a truth that is, men and women. The Lord says, I have much people. There is a people who were given to Christ in the great covenant of redemption in eternity past. There is a people who belong to Christ, a people that were chosen to salvation. And many of those people are still to be saved in this locality. And that truth, men and women, is attacked. It is misrepresented. Perhaps you're one of the people that has attacked it. One of the attacks that is made upon that great truth is that it is said it discourages evangelism. It discourages reaching out to the lost. If they are elect and they will be saved, then we don't need to do anything because God will save them anyway. Well, that's wrong. In fact, it couldn't be further from the truth. Can I ask you, why did the Lord speak to Paul here about the elect in Corinth? Was it so that Paul could take it easy, just sit back, do very little, do nothing? I want you to know that the answer there is no 100 times over. It was to encourage him. That's the reason why the Lord gave him this great truth, made this tremendous statement. To encourage him to carry on with his preaching ministry in the city of Corinth. And brethren and sisters, God has given this promise to us for the same reason. You remember this. If God is a people, and he has, and it is certain that those people will be saved, and they will, then I want you to know that your work in the Sunday school, your work in the children's meeting, your work in the youth, your work on the doors, your work in whatever department of the church that you serve Christ in, that work will succeed, men and women. That work will prosper. Those people will be saved. There will be nothing surer, nothing more certain than that. God cannot deny himself, and your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So keep on preaching. Keep on with the work, because the Lord promises, he pledges to prosper your labors. There's one other promise the Lord gives here, and it's with regard to the place. Look at the words there just at the end of the verse 10. He says, this city, I have much people in this city. Paul was preaching in one of the great cities of the ancient world. And it's very relevant to us. Church here in Armagh is in a city, a very significant city, the ancient ecclesiastical capital of Ireland. This is a city that is dominated by religion, a lot of it false religion. There's a lot of people religious, but they've never repented of their sins. Romanism in particular has such a grip, such an influence upon this city of Armagh. And in the light of that, men and women, I want you to know it's vital to have a very clear and strong Protestant witness in this city until the Savior comes again. And God gives us a promise here about working in the city. You just think of the sort of city Corinth was. Corinth was a vile, wicked place. The word Corinthian had an association with immorality. A person in those days that was known as a Corinthian was known for their immoral lifestyle. It was sometimes applied to prostitution, those that were prolificate. You think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It gives you some idea of what the city of Corinth was actually like. He speaks there of those that were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. What a place Corinth was. A cesspool of iniquity. It was a place that was dominated by false religion of the wickedest and most immoral character But I want you to know God blessed the preaching of the gospel, even in Corinth. And that reminds us, men and women, of the great truth. There's no place. Remember that today. There's no place on God's earth that is too hard for God to work in. No place that is too hard for God to revive. And you'd be encouraged by that. If God could do a work and establish a church in a city like Corinth, He could do it anywhere. He can do it in our city as well. I'd encourage you to get Mr. Spurgeon's sermon on this text. He gave it the title, Cheer for the Workers and Hope for London. Mr. Ferguson, the Reverend Ferguson, was greatly encouraged by that sermon many years ago when the Lord called him to labour in the city of London. And at the beginning of this new year, brethren and sisters, as the new year's work begins once more, and as you think of the Church of Jesus Christ in Armagh and its future here, I say to you, may this text be cheer for every Christian, cheer for every worker in this church, and may it stir our hearts to give us hope for the future of the gospel witness here in this city of Armagh. You keep on with the work. Keep on with the preaching of the gospel, because the Lord promises us here in this place that He will work. He will do a work for His own glory, even here in this city. So here is God's guarantee for the future of His work. And I say to you just in conclusion, brethren and sisters, we've been thinking about keeping on with the work, especially the preaching. And remember that God's way is the best way. God's way is the only way. Paul said to these same Corinthians in his first letter, it pleaseth God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of the gospel seemed so foolish, seemed a ridiculous way to go about establishing any work or changing any city. Now, that's how so many worldly people, so many of those worldly wise Greeks would have viewed the preaching of the gospel. You know the sad thing, brethren and sisters, it's the same even in the church today. There are many people who view preaching as such foolishness. You need to move away from that. On to other means, other ways of spreading the gospel. I want you to know, men and women, God uses and God saves through the preaching of His word. You be in no doubt of this fact. May the Lord write it on your heart on the 1st of January 2017. If preaching doesn't change lives, if the preaching of the gospel doesn't change this city of Armagh, if the preaching of the glorious and the everlasting gospel of Christ doesn't fill this church to capacity, then I want you to know that nothing will. Nothing will. It pleaseth God. It mightn't please the crowd, the carnal crowd that fills so many churches today. But it pleaseth God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God's guarantee, men and women, for the future of His work. Take it to heart today. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of what the future will hold, what this new year will bring. Be not afraid, but speak. Open your mouth for Christ and be a witness and a testimony with Him with every breath that God gives to you in this new year. But speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. What a blessing. May the Lord come and manifest His presence in a mighty way in every meeting we hold in this church this year. I am with thee. And what a word of protection. No man, doesn't matter who he is, it doesn't matter how much money he has or what position he holds in the land, the Lord says, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And go away with this promise, men and women, ringing in your ears and burning in your heart. The Lord says, I have much people in this city. I pray God will write His word on every heart today for Jesus' sake. 720.